everyone. Welcome back. It's another episode of Inside Boxing presented by PPV.com, Yahoo Sports, and Uncrowned. I'm Dan Canobio. He is Chris Algieri. We're just a few hours removed from a shootout in Brooklyn. Boots Ennis stops Xander Zayas in seven rounds. It was a rock'em sock'em robots type of fight. We're going to break it all down. Before we get into the breakdown of the fight, I want to thank everyone who came out to our pre-fight party, McMahon's Public House. It's always an amazing time to meet the listeners. It blows my mind to hear from everyone, father and son driving up there, friends, community we've built through this show is amazing. It was an awesome time before the fight. It was also time at the fight. And now we're going to break it all down. Chris, I'm feeling it. I'm like maybe 3 hours of sleep. You got the glasses on. But the show must go on. The show must go on.
Yeah. Show goes on. News has to be broken. We have to talk about it. We talked about the fight leading up to it. Now we got to talk about the aftermath. Doesn't matter how little sleep we got.
Get an espresso.
But I think between the two of us, we probably got 5 hours.
Yeah, it was tough. You probably hear it in my voice. So I'm going to try my best to bring the energy and not mess up too many words. One last thing about the party, which I thought was the coolest thing. There was a father and son there, I think from Ohio.
There's a couple
that
father and sons
really there, like tugs at the heartstrings there. The father and son duos that were showing up saying, and then one of the kids said that he texted his dad, "Hey, Pops, new Inside Boxing just dropped." And I was like, "Come on, guys. Come on. Let's go." And they're super, you know, very educated fans. And, you know, most fans inside of the party, most listeners inside the party were thinking Boots was going to win. But, man, it had to play out. So that third round is going to be talked about for a really long time, where Zayas stuns Boots with about a minute to go. Zayas down in the first round. I ask you this right off the rip. I was shocked that Zayas came out and fought the way he did, kind of standing toe-to-toe, right in range, not moving at all. Were you equally as shocked as I was?
No. If you go back and watch our breakdown of the show, our last show, when we talked about this fight, that's exactly what I said could possibly happen. It could be early, it could be late, because if Xander decides to fight, and it is a shootout, he just is not equipped the way that Boots is in those inside exchanges. And Boots' ability to throw combinations with power for extended periods of time, it just separates him from everybody that I've seen. And as good as Xander is, he cannot do what Boots can do in those kinds of prolonged exchanges. And we saw that.
But you say, like, if Zayas decides to do that, like, he made a decision. His corner made a decision. Yeah. Are you surprised at that decision is my question.
It was a bad yes. idea. I expected, and I remember Najee.
Cigar Talk.
Yep, Cigar Talk. Shout out to Najee and Cigar Talk. He came by the party as well. And I said to him, I was like, you know, we're talking about who was going to win the fight. And I was like, who you got? He's like, I got Boots by stoppage. I'm like, yeah, you know, me too. But I'm like, but don't be surprised if Xander comes out and boxes really well early on. And I think you agreed too. And he just chose not to do that. He chose to stand and fight. He went out on his Puerto Rican shield, and God bless him for it. He made for a great, fun couple of rounds. I tip my hat to Xander. He's a warrior. Not the best game plan, but God was
fun. Not the best game plan, but do we benefit as fans? The crowd was absolutely berserk in the third round. I actually got to sit in the crowd, which I can't recall the last time I actually sat in the crowd. We had amazing seats. With our friend, we sat next to with Avril Mathy, her friends, sat next to Adam Lefko, my longtime friend who is going to be hosting
Adam's
cool. TNT host inside the NBA. He's also going to be the new host of the TNT's coverage next week with Bud Crawford, Porter, and Bradley.
Sean.
Yeah, group chat was firing after the fight.
I can imagine he was talking about the group chat with those guys before the fight.
It was firing after the fight because there's a lot of opinions on Boots that we'll get to in just a second. But the crowd inside of there was at a fever pitch like right before the main event because the undercard had some stoppages. So it was loud in there. Good crowd. But that third round, man, it was back and forth stuff. But Zayas was down in the first round because of the game plan that we just talked about. You're getting touched early, and it's like, listen, if you're going to stand in front of Boots, you're going to probably hit the canvas. And Zayas found that out right from the first round, right from rip. This dude is on his ass in the like a 2 minutes in.
Yeah, and Boots expended a ridiculous amount of energy early on because he had to fight. He was like, oh, okay, we're going to do this kind of fight? Okay, cool. Boom, bang. Let's do it. Puts him down. Was riding super high after that first round knockdown. I was like, all right, here we go. And I'm like, oh, my God, what are you doing? But Xander looked strong. He got up, and he looked strong. He looked good when he was coming back. His confidence started to come back. It looked like he was taking the punches better. Like you said, that third round was ridiculous. He rocks Boots back with a right hand, head like a Pez dispenser.
Reminded me of Tyson Fury when Usyk was popping his head back.
Yeah, boom. And honestly, as I'm watching, I'm like, Boots looks tired. I'm watching. I'm like, Boots might have punched himself out early on. He might have unloaded the clip way too early. And now you got a big, strong guy who's coming on. But at the end of the day, Boots is just doing Boots things, and the power is real, and he's just so slick and smooth the way that he rips, slips and rips, man. Ugh. Body shots too. He hurt Xander the body bad, and just brilliant stuff by Boots.
Yeah, Boots landed 35 body shots. It was 100. He landed 148 punches in seven rounds.
That's a lot of punches in seven rounds.
131 of them were power shots.
Yeah.
So
guy's not a jabber. We talked about that. Fight. He's not a jabber. He's like,
well, the first punch of the fight was a jab.
Okay. Well, usually is.
and then he went straight. He straight hooked from there on out. And he threw 125 more punches than Zayas. So he was more active. You know, Zayas.
That's an interesting number. He was more active than Xander.
Right. He just filled up the stat sheet, Boots. Mochi always does. So the first round, Zayas is down. Second round, another good Boots round. Third round, a minute 36 remaining. Boots is in control of the fight at this point. You know, Zayas has been down. He's up 2-0. I'm thinking this could end at any moment for Boots. And then with a minute 36, Zayas lands a chopping right hand that gets the attention of Boots. And with a minute left, all hell breaks loose. Zayas snapping the neck of Boots, battering him around the ring until Boots lands a shot of his own towards the end of the round to kind of get his wits back and kind of get some respect back. That third round is probably going to be up there for round of the year. I'm a little bit biased because I was in the arena and everyone's screaming, and so it affects you. A few people like, oh, that wasn't round of the year. I don't know, man. A fight of this magnitude, back and forth where both guys have moments, and that's up there for candidate for rounds of the year. It's the reason why we love the sport and put up with all the BS is for rounds like that where two guys are just duking it out, giving it their all. That third round was great
stuff. And one of the reasons it was so great is because it was unexpected. Like you said, Boots was in control. It looked like it was just a matter of time before Boots got him out of there. And then, bang, Xander comes back and starts ripping combinations, standing his ground, fighting, taking the punches well again at that point, and like, letting his hands go, head, body. I mean, it was like, it looked like there was a changing of the momentum there. And you're like, wow, I can see this fight going a different way. Again, right. Boots wrangled it back, but that fight gave everyone hope. Everyone who was a Xander Zayas fan got hope in that third round.
I'm glad you said that too, Chris, because it was like a shocking thing. It was like, it was all right, Boots is going to get him out of here. And it was like, what the heck? Wait, am I seeing him correctly? Because his Boots like, really hurt? Is he dead tired? Is his head getting snapped back against these ropes? Like, what are we watching here? Like, this is actually happening. So the shock value there in the middle of that round, seemingly out of nowhere, definitely enhances what was a really, really, really awesome round. Fourth round, every judge gave it to Zayas. Mm-mm. So when you talk about momentum and you talk about seizing the opportunity here, you know, there was some a shift there from the end of that third. Or a minute left of that third where I think Zayas got the best of that final minute. And then the fourth round where they both threw around 60 punches, both landed 22, but every judge gave it to Zayas in the fourth. So now we're like, all right, this could be 2-2 with the knockdown, 3-1 with the knockdown for Boots. But regardless, Zayas is in this fight in round four after four
That's
rounds.
That's surprising.
And then, right. And then Boots completely took over. Fifth round, stepped on the gas pedal. Of that fifth round, he dropped Zayas.
Bad. Hard.
I know it's here.
Real
bad. Hard. That was like, I cannot believe Zayas
recovered
up.
Very he went. Quick. That was impressive.
Bro, he's got some insane recovery abilities, and he must be in, not must, he is, phenomenal shape because that was a hard, hard right hand. And the way he went down, you saw it. He went down, like, I wouldn't say his legs went stiff, but he went down like, this guy ain't getting back up. And he got up at 9. He used every last second, got up, and still was in that round. I mean, he didn't win the round, but, like, I was surprised at his legs there, because Boots was teeing off in that fifth round. I was like, all right, this is it. He's either going to get stopped by the ref, by the corner, or another knockdown. But Zayas stayed in that. But that fifth round, Boots, after losing the fourth, he's just so fast, bro. His, like, seeing him up close like that, his countering, he just does everything. Like, he can lead. His countering, like, his jab when he wants the jab is fierce. Like, his punches, you can hear them. You know, we were like 20 rows up. You can hear everything. And he just throws everything with mean intentions. In that fifth round, Boots got right back on.
He's mean and he's tricky. Like, he was throwing that check hook that he was throwing right from the beginning. He was just mixing it in the middle. Like, I'm like, right away, I was like, ooh, I'm like, that left hook. I'm like, that right hook. I'm like, watch that hook.
That was the
punch. He was throwing it in the middle of everything. And it was like, like you said, it was so fast and it was tricky and hard to see. I'm like, that's going to catch Xander. And everything Boots said about Xander, like, yo, he's like, you got a big head. You don't move your head. I'm going to find the head. You better move your head. He didn't. He could not miss that. His head. He was just like, he kept finding it over and over and over again. And Xander has a good chin. He took it well, but it's only so long that can happen because he's getting hit a lot.
Right.
A lot.
Like you said, only so long because the end was near. Sixth round, both guys kind of took that round off. Boots threw 19 punches, Zayas threw 21. That's to be expected after the first 5 rounds of just complete warfare. Seventh round onslaught. That's when it ended. Zayas takes kind of like a knee almost, but gets chopped down, looks over at his corner to kind of be like, listen, I got nothing left. Referee stops it. Zayas shakes his head in agreement. Fight over. Boots unified champ at 154 after unifying at 147. No longer Boots in the gym. Had a lot of guys come up to me yesterday. Yo, Dan, what's up with you, man? Boots in the gym. They were using it as like a thought we were being derogatory. Wow. Oh, man, it's like... You know what? It's no longer Boots in the gym.
That's what we said last show. You're like, not Boots in the gym. We want to see him boots on fight night.
This is no longer Boots in the gym. This is Boots on the big stage. And we talked about this on the previous episode, Sunday morning when we do this show. I don't want to hear Zayas wasn't ready. I don't want to hear Boots just ran through him. No, Zayas was more than game. He gave Boots hell. Boots overcame it. He dominated this fight. Outside of that third round, this was all Boots domination. We'll get to the third round, some weaknesses in a second, but we got to crown this guy. He is who we thought he was. He's phenomenal in sparring and in the gym and all these stories about him. He's phenomenal inside the ring too. Our friend Sean Zatel said he's one of the 5 most sensational fighters, along with, you know, Better Biev, Bivol, Bam. I'm probably messing this up, some of the names, but he's Benavidez. He's up there, bro. He's box office in terms of watching him fight. And fans left that arena last night. I was in the, you know, the areas around the Barclays and the corridors, whatever you want to call them. People are buzzing. This guy's got it. He's got something here. And Eddie, you can see why Eddie's so excited. But Boots is that guy. You got to give him full credit here on Sunday morning. Both guys. So I love the fact that we're not saying one guy didn't, you know, bring it. Or, all right, it was a good win. But no, solid win for Boots Ennis.
Yeah, we said we were going to crown a star on Sunday. And we are. We're crowning Boots Ennis. He did what he needed to do. He did it in emphatic fashion. Sensational. The guys, he's just everything we've been talking about. He lived up to it. And we said that. I'm like, if he goes out there and he dominates this fight, if he goes out there and he stops Xander, I'm going all quotes from our last show. He goes out there and just, he is the man. And then now we have to crown him. He is the man. We have a star. He's something special, man. And he's going to be a lot of fun because he is willing to engage and willing to make for fun fights. But also, I will say this. We need to only put him in with top guys. He just performs better. He just fights better with good opposition. Like, put him in. He's ready. What else are we doing?
Oh, I mean, if he's not ready now, then when?
Now he's got 2 belts again. Got no choice.
He has to. He's 28. I mean, the whole knock with Boots and why there were even a smidge of skepticism was his resume, and this is his first big win. Stanley Onis was also another big win on a big stage,
and he dominated both those fights. His two biggest fights were domination.
Yeah, it's only big fights from here on out. There's so many options out there, but we can't talk about a fighter without pointing out some of the weaknesses or the or mistakes the or glaring moments, the flaws. Because, yes, Boots puts his head in the fire. You can't go in the pool and not get wet. He produces phenomenal knockouts. He's an offensive-minded fighter, which means he's going to stand in the pocket and take shots. If there was a puncher in there, if Zayas had a little more pop, we could be having a whole different discussion today. The defense, or he said he got lazy, Ennis, in that third round. I saw a guy that he was orthodox when he got caught. I think he's better as a southpaw. He does switch. That third round, Boots getting his head snapped back. How do you assess that? How do you look at that? Flaws or just a lazy moment?
I go back to what I said earlier on. It looked like he was a little bit gassed. Like he unloaded the clip early on because he was just, I think he was finding it so easy to hit Xander. He was throwing so many punches. He just got ahead of him a little bit. But then Xander came back with a fury. I'm not going to knock Boots as much. I am going to knock Boots a little bit because, again, he makes for fun fights because he is so offensive-minded. He is a high-contact fighter. He's an in-the-pocket fighter, which makes him fun, but he's going to get hit. But you can't take those little lapses the way he took. You've got to be off defensively sound when that happens. And he wasn't. And he couldn't be. It looked like he was just a little bit tired and a little bit slow and getting hit. He recovered, obviously. But you're right. A guy who is a better puncher, because Xander's not a puncher. He's a boxer, but he stood and fought. That could have been an issue because Boots looked like he was in trouble a little bit in the third round. Puncher, again, like you said, we could be having a different conversation right now. Now the argument is going to be, and Boots is going to say this too. He's like, yeah, but he couldn't really hurt me like that. So like, I was willing to take that. Or you know, but also like him saying himself, I got a little like how it's a 7-round fight. And it's the biggest fight of your career. How do you lose focus? And I said that in the preview. He tends to lose focus at times, which is wild in this kind of fight. I didn't expect him to lose focus in this kind of fight. Maybe with a lesser opponent, but this is not a lesser opponent. It shows you a little bit of a lack of discipline, a little bit of lack of focus, which could come back to hurt him later on.
Yes. I don't know if it's cockiness. I don't know if it's supreme belief in his skills, where it's like, no matter what, I'm always going to come out on top of these exchanges. I'm always going to win. I just have it. Which you can probably do at 28, right? Like, you still have all your reflexes. You still have everything in there. But you're right, Chris. You can't have lapses like that defensively. We talk about this with Abdullah Mason. Obviously, Mason, not on the same level as Boots, but damn, pretty close. And he has these moments where he gets hits, where he's willing to get stand in the fire and trade, gets stopped, knocked down early. But when you see it from Boots, it's like we see this guy as a pound for pound great. He can ascend to the top three really fast, if not number one, in a year or two. So you're going to like pick apart these things. And we still kind of have the Mayweather effect in boxing, where we want our top guy
perfect every right. time.
It's got to be perfect. You can't see his head get snapped back. We can't see him have a moment where it's like, human. Oh shit, he might lose. Yeah, no, that's unacceptable in the last 15 years. So there were some people walking away. I think for the most part, the educated fan will say, man, Boots is something special like we just did. It took us, you know, 20 minutes to get to this port. Boots is something special, offensively gifted. He just gives the fans what they want. They leave happy. But, man, I can't unsee that third round. I can't unsee that head snap back, and his legs were shot. If you look at the final minute, like he was able to land that shot on Zayas to kind of get some momentum back. Those were all arm shots because his legs were gone. Dude, if he's in there with a Virgil, he's in there with a Fundora. Like you can say like, oh yeah, I'm calm, cool, collected. I was fine in there, or I had like a little bit of a lazy moment. You can't have a lazy moment with Virgil Ortiz. Like, Virgil Ortiz has a, what, 98% knockout rate? Like, Fundora will erase you. Some of these other guys at 154 who can crack. This is probably the least powerful guy at 154 in terms of the top guys in Zayas. Like, you can't have those moments. You can, because it's going to create great moments for us as fans, but he might end up on the wrong side of one of these exchanges.
Yeah, and we talk about these fighters and guys that are entertaining. Guess what? Entertaining fighters get hit. And we like we
Tito Trinidad.
Tito used to get dropped. He used to get
Oscar De La Hoya
used to get dropped. Used to get hit, but they're super entertaining. Listen, what do you want?
Split hairs.
Yeah, we are. We're talking about how great it is that he fights this way because it's so much fun. How awesome the fight was, but at the same time, then we go back and critiquing him for getting hit and not being perfect. But listen, I will say this. I think it'll be easier to make the fights now. Guys will want to fight him. They see a path to victory. And Boots,
it's just the Triple G. Who do you fight? Who did Triple G get touched up by in that one fight?
Gabe Rosado.
It was Rosado.
He said he had the flu. And
I thought it was another one after that. Anyway, but yeah, I agree. There's a flaw. Like people, they were like circling the waters. Virgil Ortiz was very chatty on Twitter last night, which I found to be a little odd. Like he went after Zayas, called him a pussy, said you quit. Dude, you're on the sidelines, bro, watching this. Like you should be in the ring tonight. This is supposed to be your moment. But we all know what happened there. So don't be bitter and don't call Zayas a pussy. He's not.
Yeah, that's
not a character. To be very strange from right. Yeah. I feel like he's just so bitter. Like I get it. He's not a bitter person, but in that moment, watching that fight,
ring a long time.
I get it.
It's not his fault, and it's bad. It's real bad. So he's probably down. I get it. But yeah, I look at that as being out of character. I know how Virgil is.
No, he was just sitting at home. Like I should be in that ring, and like my manager went fucking AWOL, or I told my manager to get the fight done, and the next thing you know, I'm in litigation with Oscar, watching this fight at home. It's gotta hurt. But don't call Zayas a quitter.
Come on, bro. Zayas fought his ass off.
Zayas went out like a G. He'll go up to 160. He's going to be fine.
Yes. Agreed.
Some people, I saw some, like you see everything on Twitter after a fight. It's like, oh, I can't believe Zayas was really dumb to take this fight. I saw something
he didn't
like
take this Bob fight. Aaron he made this fight, guys.
He made
this fight. This fight happened because of Xander.
I hope everyone remembers that. I hope, and a lot of people at the party too were like, Boots is going to win, but man, Zayas has really carried himself well in this promotion. He's a real throwback. I hope that sentiment stays. Like, Aram and Not So Many Words was like, kind of said, like, I don't love this fight for Zayas. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense. Conventional boxing wisdom is like, 22, 23-year-old who just got two belts should not be fighting a guy like Boots. And even Boots after the fight, which is such a backhanded thing. He didn't have to take this fight, but he did. Like, you just got beat. Would you want to hear that, Chris, in the ring? Like, hey, Algeria's tough as fuck. Like, Pacquiao. Like, this guy's tough. He didn't have to do this. He chose to.
Yeah, no. It's like, that wouldn't feel good.
No. So, Zayas, I hope everything, fans can keep that sentiment going, because this dude is going to be a force at 160 or wherever he ends up, 168. He's a big boy. And he's 22 years old. We need him to stick around. We need that Puerto Rican star. We need his fighting style is super fun. He almost had him there, bro. If he had any more power and maybe he wasn't down early, whole different story.
I just wonder what would happen if he would have boxed more early on. If he used his legs. Maybe it was the crowd. Maybe it was being in New York. Maybe it was everything leading up to it. Who knows? I mean, he was talking a lot going up to the fight and saying a lot of things that I think – yeah, you got to stand on business, dude. If you say all these things,
isn't that for your corner, your team to rein
listen,
you in?
He's not Bernard Hopkins. He's not a super experienced guy who can tell you I'm going to come out and fight you, and then he comes out and boxes you. Like I kind of thought that might happen. Maybe he's just setting the stage so he can go out there and box his shoes off. But he didn't. He chose to fight.
Well, Chris, you're a boxer, Chris. If when you step into the ring against a guy, you're outgunned. For the most part in your career, you were, correct? Yeah. Would you, like, go veer off? Your corner and your team would know your strengths and know that you need to box. You need to throw 100 punches around. You need to throw 1,000 plus. And you need to be the master boxer.
The only big fight that happened that I was not, where I didn't do that, where I went off course was Spence. And the problem with that, the Spence fight is I had a bad knee. I couldn't use my legs, so I had to stand and fight. I didn't think he was going to be as strong as he was, but he was, and I had to stand and fight. And went out on my shield, you know, but I didn't have an option. That was the fight I had to fight because of an injury going into the fight. I don't think Xander was hurt. I think Xander decided that he was going to fight this fight. And that's the thing. Once you get into that dogfight, you're in it.
You're not
going back to boxing.
You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
Exactly. I think that's what happened. I think he.
It's got to feel like an amazing fear. It's got to be like a drug. To be in like those first couple of rounds.
Fighting.
And then you're right, to go back.
It feels great.
Bro, just sitting in the crowd, like, that was one of the better experiences I had on a fight night. Because usually, it's so different when you're working, like, you're working. Like, you're doing different, you're thinking about content. I put some stuff out, but like, going from the fight party, which was a blast, and then sitting in the crowd, I lost that for a while. Like, I lost touch of, like, how the fans take it all in. Everyone was on their feet, bro, the whole fight. Having the time of their lives. Like, this is amazing. This is how the other half's living. Like, this is how you guys enjoy these fights. Like, we're ringside or we're at home. Or I'm on my couch.
The other 99.9% of the world?
Right. I have, like, three computers at home. I'm, like, putting out content when I'm watching at home. Or if I'm at the fight, we're ringside and we're putting out content for PPG.com. So, last night, to sit with the crowd and, like, you know, catch the vibe was awesome. And that's what Boots is going to do. Throw all that shit out the window. Oh, he's going to get hit. He's going to do this. He's going to... Bro, that's exciting. Like, everyone can't fight like Shakur Stevenson. Right. If everyone fought the same way, the sport would be so boring, be so bland.
So many people bitch about Shakur.
So give me guys that are going to stand and trade.
You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Like, either way, because people bitch about Shakur. Like, they bitch about that style. It's like, he doesn't get hit. It's like, well, okay, but it's not entertaining. Like, okay, now we got a guy who's entertaining, and guess what? He gets hit, because that's part of being entertaining. That's part of, you know, that song.
Oh, you need that.
Yeah, hell yeah. We need a guy like Boots.
Yeah. Terrence Crawford tweeted, I'm going to keep my comments to myself, but y'all get it, I hope. Crying emoji face.
No, never misses an opportunity, that Bud Crawford.
Well, I was surprised at how much Crawford talk there was this week for Boots.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of posts about that as well. It's like,
what are we doing? Like, why are we pushing that fight? Crawford is retired. His last fight was at 168 pounds. If anyone's going to stay retired, it's Terrence Crawford. Yeah. Not only that.
Not coming back for Boots.
No. There's just not enough money in that unless Turkey backs up the Brinks truck.
That's it.
Not only that, like, there's so many viable opponents for Boots now. So why are we drumming up Crawford? I understand they were connected for years. Crawford and Boots. They kind of fight the same way. Mm. I'm just going to whisper this. Crawford beats Boots pretty easily.
Yeah. I mean, you said they fight the same way. No, they have some of the same attributes.
Like the switch hitting and the dynamic offense. Certain
things you look at and you're like, oh, but Terrence was so deceptive. And the way he set things up and closed the distance, it was very, very different than Boots. And he did not get hit that much. Terrence had very good defense.
We're on to who Boots should fight next. Virgil Ortiz chatting. Fandora has a belt.
Take it.
Josh Kelly has a belt. I want to see Boots versus Virgil next. I think that's the one. It was supposed to be the one here. It's always going to be the one. I don't care if Virgil doesn't have belts. Use the eye test. It's Boots and Virgil atop the list at 154 pounds. Some of those shots that Boots were eating from Zayas, those are coming from Virgil. Have a whole different story, man. And Boots, like you said, it's got to be in big fights. That's a big fight. They have a built-in storyline. I understand the unifications are there. Eddie's talking about unifications with Josh Kelly. That's a fight that can be made with Matchroom. The Fandora fight, I don't know if that's ever going to happen. Fandora's with PBC. PBC likes to keep their fighters.
In Northern Ireland.
With PBC. Yeah. Right. Fandora's could fight the winner of could fight Spence, could fight this, that, and the other. I'm not holding my breath for a Fandora-Boots fight. Virgil, Boots. Keep this momentum going. That's the fight I want
to
see.
I agree. That's the fight to make. Probably won't. We'll probably see Josh Kelly.
Josh Kelly, I hope he's warming up in the bullpen. Because you're coming in next, kid. Because they asked Eddie, what do you want next? Big fight, Virgil, or unifications? And Eddie went straight to the unification talk. Belts matter. I'm a belt guy.
And it's in-house. It's easy. Kelly is a Matchroom fighter. It's an easy fight to make. Boots is coming off this massive, massive fight with a top-ranked fighter. Now he gets another fight, gets another unification fight with an in-house fighter that's easy to make and someone that can present some issues, but I don't think Kelly beats Boots on any planet. So I think that's what we're gonna see next.
Josh Kelly is fighting on July 25th.
Okay, right around the corner.
Against I can't even pronounce his name. Ajarko.
Ajarko. Okay.
154 pounds in Saudi Arabia. Really? What's going on in Saudi Arabia on July 25th? Yeah. That's not a. Is that a? It's on the Anthony Joshua card.
Ah, nice. Okay, oh, that's good exposure. Good pay.
All right, so he's on schedule with Boots, Josh Kelly.
Bring him back in.
Fundora has nothing. October. The other option for Boots Ennis, if he wants to go the unification route, is Fundora. Fundora versus Boots is
fire.
Warfare.
Yeah. Like two fighters. Two fighters who are fun to watch. Two fighters who get hit. That's just mayhem. Absolute mayhem.
Yeah, if it's Virgil or Fundora, we're in for a treat. And I'll take either. The Kelly route would not surprise me, given everything we just said. Matchroom, unification, easy fight to make.
Three of the most entertaining fighters in the sport are 154. Sebastian Fundora, Virgil Ortiz, and Jaron Boots Ennis are three of the most entertaining fighters in the sport.
Fuck yeah. And we've been waiting for this division to move. So I want to thank
Xander Zayas.
Xander Zayas again. Xander
Zayas for thanking you for this fight.
Thank you again, Xander, for helping us this podcast.
Making boxing great again.
Seriously. Yeah, Virgil is ranked number one in the ring. That's just nuts. This weight class is so hard to make sense because Virgil doesn't have a belt. Not that belts are everything, but he's ranked number one. I guess eye test. He does have some big wins. Sebastian 2, Xander 3, Badrimov 4, Ennis 5. He's going to move up. Kelly, Murtazaliyev, who just has that one loss. Barao will be back in the mix. I don't think Ennis will fight those types. Like, hopefully they just put him in big fights, like you said. Like,
yeah, it's going to be Josh Kelly next. And then after...
I don't hate it either.
As long as... It's unification.
Like, Virgil's...
And it's a tricky style. I'd like to see how Boots deals with someone like that. Because Kelly... We got to see the versatility of Boots. Because we see what happens when guys come at him. Come at him, you're getting finished. What happens if you fight disciplined fight? And because Josh will do that. Josh did it with Murtazaliyev. Like, he fought a very disciplined fight. I don't see Josh getting in there and mixing it up with... Boots the way that Xander did. I think he's going to go out and try and use his slickness. Can Boots decipher that puzzle? I want to see that. He's going to need that for those bigger fights.
Yeah, not only that, you know, the business side of things, like controlling another belt
is very important.
They're already in the driver's seat, Boots, in terms of future negotiations, especially with Virgil. I mean, if Virgil had any leg to stand on, that's long gone. Because now, the only thing eluding Virgil in his whole career was a belt. This guy's yet to win a title, which is absurd. And now, he's the whole litigation and everything, and now he's going to go back to the drawing table. And like, I wouldn't say with your hands out, but he's going to take significantly less to fight Boots, because Boots is in the driver's seat now, and Eddie knows that. And if they fight Josh Kelly, pick up another belt, way more collateral here. Now you're looking at Boots as a three-belt leverage. You're looking at Boots as a three-belt champ.
Nuts.
And that price is going to go up.
Smart move. Eddie knows what he's doing. Eddie knows what he's got. Again, it's an in-house fight with Josh. Everyone, I'm sure, is going to assume Boots is going to win that fight. You got three belts. Yeah, it's the way. Boots is a monster, but you're creating another monster now. If he's got three belts, he is now a negotiating monster for making these fights. Yeah. And Eddie's finally getting what he wanted. He always, like, you could tell Eddie's been like just so
he was so giddy.
He's been feverishly wanting Boots to do what Boots is doing so he can get on his high horse and jump from the top of the mountain. I got the best 54-pounder, I got the best guy in the world, I got the most entertaining fighter, but he needs the performances. He got one last night, boy.
Yeah, I was watching Eddie during the fight, and yeah, you could see that he was just grinning ear to ear. Some tense moments in that third, for sure. But yeah, Eddie's got Boots. He's got Bam, who was in attendance last night.
Bam.
Obviously, Joshua. He's got Ben Whitaker.
Wow, he looked
good. Talk about Ben Whitaker.
Damn. I was impressed.
Parlay blown up real fast. Popeye the Sailor Man blown out by Whitaker. But he was good. Great performance from Whitaker. You know, crowd was like a little like, who is this guy? By the end of the fight, they were in. He's got the goods. He works. We're going to start to see a big time takeoff from this guy. Big ascension. Like Eddie said afterwards, next year he'll be fighting for titles. Got Andy Lee. I think this Andy Lee Whitaker connection is really good. I never seen Rivera beat like that. That was impressive.
Very impressive. Rivera, very solid guy. A lot of experience. Huge step up for Whitaker, and he passed with flying colors. Like way better than I expected. I think Ben's really good. I really like Whitaker. I think he is the goods, and I think the Andy Lee connection is making him way better because he's taken out all the extra fluff, and he's just a hard-nosed, good, fast, athletic fighter. And Rivera, who was supposed to be a challenge, I thought it was going to be a stiff one, just had nothing for him. That's how good Ben Whitaker is.
Yeah, he's really good. And you talk about that fluff, like – he's still showboating, but it was just the right amount. It was enough where, like, he was, like, looking past. He was doing some moves. Like, he knew that he was in total control from the first round on, which has to be an amazing feeling. Like, it's, like, similar to, like, Barry Bonds and stepping into the batter's box, knowing that he's going to hit a home run. Like, the ball looks like a beach ball to him. It's, like, first round, you already know that you're in complete control is absurd.
It shows off the charts. Ability and boxing IQ and just athleticism and just everything. His proprioception, his ability to know where he's at. It's a thing of beauty. It's an art. And I think with a guy like Andy Lee who can really hone that in and focus it, which we're seeing, that's a dangerous combination.
He's not in the top 10, but he will be now, Whitaker. He's highly ranked in the IBF. I think that's the route that he'll go. He's ranked third in the IBF. Did you see this over? There's a lot of news over the weekend. Bivol needs another surgery on his elbow. What is going on with this guy? And he's fighting Callum Smith once he recovers from the elbow. It just came off of a back surgery.
Yeah.
His body's betraying
him. Not getting younger.
35.
That's when the wheels start to fall off, guys.
When you start accumulating more surgeries than fights, not good. But point being is 175. If Benavidez never comes back down there, which is a...
I don't think he is.
Right. We've talked about this numerous times. Like, this could be Whitaker's division. Beterbiev, also 42 years old on the outside, doesn't have a fight. We could see Beterbiev and Benavidez.
I don't hate that at all.
But Benavidez is going to fight McKillian.
Yeah, for the WBC title.
Noel. I was calling him Noah on a previous episode.
Good fight. I like it. I like because McKillian's solid, very solid. World champion for a reason. He can fight. And again, when we talk about belts and how powerful they are, I think it's an important fight for David Benavidez to go out there. And he said it. He's gone out on record and said, I want to unify cruiserweight. So that's a logical next step.
Yeah. So Whitaker will be – like they're moving him properly. He'll have one more fight, they said, in Birmingham at the end of the year. And then he'll be sent come back to the U.S. I don't hate that. Like, Matchroom, obviously they're going to build this guy up to be a star in the U.K.
He's a stadium guy.
Yes, that's the goal. The goal is stadium. They don't want to have any laps between Joshua stadiums and Whitaker stadiums. That's why Matchroom signed this guy. But I do like him saying we're going to bring him to the U.S. every once in a while because Matchroom does have a footprint here, whether it's Boots fights. Because Boots is going to be fighting in Philly or AC or Brooklyn. Obviously, Vegas, too, for a long time, if Boots can stay on top. And Bam is going to be around for a while, too. Those are two pound-for-pound guys that Matchroom has. So,
Matchroom looking real strong. Roster looking real strong right now.
I don't want to say we got to give them credit because they're a freaking powerhouse. But Eddie's, it's impressive, man. He's got a really good stable. He's got a very good stable, and they just do a great job, Matchroom, at promoting.
Great eye for talent, and then the way they build – it's been a little hit or miss in the past, but I think Eddie's figured out the U.S. market. He's doing really, really good work over here with these guys.
Sign the best stars.
Yeah, but get them out there. And he does. He gets them out there. Like Boots, in the beginning, it was a little, and then boom, now we're here. So he's figured out the U.S. market.
Yeah. Emiliano Vargas won.
Surprisingly good as well. I thought that was going to be a way tougher fight.
Yeah, Mills just didn't have the foot speed, hand speed, power. Emiliano is getting there too. You know, we're sitting with a few females and they're like, oh, who's this guy? I was like, exactly.
Exactly. Star power.
He's got the charisma, that kid. He's got the riz, and he's got the power to go along with it. We knew he was going to win, but he could have went through, like you said, it could have been tough. It could have went labored through 10 rounds or put the crowd to sleep. He electrified the crowd. And that's what you got to do on this stage.
Yo, you got to look like that. You got to perform. You got to be a performer too. And he does. He puts on a show. He goes out there. He's got that Vargas DNA, man. He goes for it. He's mean. As pretty as he is, he's mean. So he's a budding potential future star. I think he's got a bunch of more levels to go, but he's moving along very nicely.
Yeah, he's not at Mason's level. No. Around the same age, and Top Rank was pitting them against each other in promotions and stuff. I did some Top Rank show a year ago, and they were like, the whole episode was Mason and Vargas. So they're trying to have those guys reach each other one day. Mason's fighting next week on TNT. Excited about that, man. I'm excited about the momentum here. Like, we need these fights to keep happening. It's TNT's first foray. Like we said, our guy Lefko is going to be hosting. Bud Crawford on the desk. Porter on the desk. Bradley on the desk. That's like our own little inside the NBA, you know, with Charles and Shaq and them. Like, I was talking to Lefko. He was saying, like, you know, the group chat is crazy, and he's hoping that to get a lot of shit out of them. You know that Bradley's going to speak his mind. And you know that Porter's going to speak his mind. I'm curious of what Bud... How much Bud is going to give up on that desk?
Well, we see Bud talking more and more and more. So him retired Bud is much more vociferous. Let's put it that way. He speaks a lot more. And
is he fully retired? Yeah, though?
I think so. I don't think he comes back. I think he's enjoying what he's doing. And
traveling.
Yeah, he's traveling. He's doing. He's there. He's in there. He's calling people. He's doing his thing. But
it's only been a year. He's only been out for not even a year. He's 38. Mason's next week. Is there anything else we missed with Boots? I feel like we got to everything. Great fight. Virgil out there. Fundora. A little bit of criticism. Gets hit a little too much, but it's overall fun. I don't think we missed anything. Crawford's chirping. All the fighters are circling. Virgil tweeting. Eddie smiling. I'm going back to sleep. There's a lot of news. We'll get to it on next episode. There's so much news that it wouldn't make sense to just all pack it in. But Canelo and Billy pushed back. They announced it like almost right before the main event or the co-main event.
Weird timing, weird messaging, weird lack of detail.
Are you surprised?
No. No.
No reason. They said sometime, they didn't even give it a backup date. It just said October.
It's likely Canelo's elbow.
That's not good.
No, guys, we have these surgeries and then we book fights. It's like, yo, you don't know how training camp's gonna go. Like, I always say there's the hands. Hands are funny because they're good until they're not good. And elbow's not much different. I've had elbow problems before in the past. It takes a while. And if Canelo's not gonna be ready for, he needs another month, it's Canelo. He can do that.
Yeah, they didn't say, like, this date is set. I know I saw a few tweets like, oh, it's probably because Ryan and Connor, Ben, are going to fight. Like, no, this is Canelo. Like, they had this date first. This is Canelo Alvarez we're talking about. You don't just move a September, even if it's in Saudi Arabia, you don't just move a Canelo date for no reason, or especially for another fight. Yeah. No way.
Especially off of September. Like, that's Canelo's weekend that he always fights. And then you're moving it. It's got to be something big.
It's either an injury on either side, Canelo and Billy, or they maybe are moving the fight to the U.S. I could be hopeful there. That's just a complete guess. I would love to see this fight in Vegas. There hasn't been a fight in Saudi Arabia. I could be wrong here. Don't quote me. But in a while, because of everything that was going on with the war and stuff, even though Joshua's going back there July 25th. So that could be out the window, too. Usyk retires. We'll get your full thoughts on the next episode, but quick thoughts. Who do you think? I saw that Hearn said that Usyk's going to fight Wilder next.
Wait, he retired? I know he relinquished the belts. I don't know he's retiring.
Oh, he's got one last dance in him. He's just Michael Jordan, Jordan in them. Oh, I fucked that up. He's pulling a Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan-ing.
1998. He's Michael Jordan in...
Last dance.
Last dance, says Usyk.
I mean, listen, the way he struggled with Rico, he looked old. He didn't look... Rico fought well, but Usyk didn't look good. His body looked different. His angles were different. His movement was different. Yeah, good. We don't need to stick around for forever, guys. We don't... I like a guy like that going out, you know, with all his faculties and all his abilities, and also with his aura still intact.
But he's ducking Cabello.
I mean, is he though? Like, I'm doing one more. No. I'm doing one more fight. I've done everything. I beat everyone. Yes, is this like always going to be a new crop of young heavyweights? Do you have to fight them?
Always going to be someone next.
So, like,
right, Cabello's great. He's not like, it's not like Evander Holyfield beating the door down. It's gonna be some super fight. I'm not taking anything away from Cabello. Like, I want to see that fight. Relinquishing the belts, not holding up the division,
respect.
Being pretty truthful. I got one more left. Not so many words is what you just said. Like, he just didn't look great in the Rico fight. Doesn't want to get splattered. Wants to go out on top. Wants to go out. It's fine. Like, no one's gonna remember. Looking back on Usyk's career, you're not going to say, first paragraph or first sentence is not going to be, he did not fight Ajit Cabello in 2026. It's going to be two-time undisputed champion, freaking cleared out two divisions, undersized, on the road, great champion. It's fine. Like, give up the belts. Now, they're all circling in the water now, all these heavyweights and these promoters.
It'll probably be Wilder. Maybe the Rico rematch. I don't think anyone really wants that, though.
It's either Rico overseas or Wilder here.
Yeah,
in the US.
I don't mind the Wilder fight, especially over here. I think that's...
It's just whatever.
It's whatever.
Who's putting up the money for that?
Yeah, does it sell? Do people care? I don't know.
Is that a Zuffa thing? It has to be. If it's here in the States and all the belts are gone, like, this is lining up to be a Zuffa thing, because I don't see PBC putting it up.
Usyk fights Wilder for the Zuffa belt? That would be...
He raises it up, one last belt for Usyk.
Wow. Yeah, he got all the belts.
Still lineal champ. Yeah. If you're into the lineal thing, I know Dan Rayfield's been typing lineal for the last 15 years. He's still lineal champ. Usyk retires as that guy. But he never beat, he has yet to fight Usyk. It's the only guy he didn't get in this era. So, got that going for him.
I'm okay with it. As long as he relinquished the belts, I'm okay with all of this.
That's what I mean. Like, you're a big proponent of that. I am as well. But, like, Canelo for a while holding up the division. Like, we've seen guys hold up divisions.
Don't
like,
do that.
Tank, who just got named champion in recess. I mean, Lucas Body is finally going to be able to fight Schofield.
Cool fight.
So these guys holding up divisions. Don't do that. And Usyk, quote-unquote, did the right thing. Teofimo was in attendance last night. He's fighting Rolly August 22nd, it looks like, on the zone. It looks like they negotiated... They negotiated directly with DAZN. I thought maybe this could be a PBC on Prime. It could still end up on Prime as well and DAZN. That fight was talked about last week, that verbal agreement. So now we've stepped it up from a code orange. I think we're...
Code orange.
It's not code red. It's not code red yet. I think orange. No, green was first. Now it's at orange. Verbal agreement is green.
you got to make this thing. You got to make that. Code orange, code green.
Like, this negotiation.
How close do we get to this fight?
Yeah, they start flirting, and then they make a verbal agreement, and then they're pictured together.
Holding hands.
And then there's a report. They have a loose date.
Second base, third base, and then we're there.
Loose date. I've had a few of those. Hey-o!
Ba-da-bing!
On that note, it's time to say goodbye. We'll be back Thursday. We'll get more these news topics. We'll dive deeper into them and anything else. And Abdullah Mason preview. Enjoy it, everyone. We had to put up with some not so great fights and pretty much not much for the last couple of months. That fight delivered.
It sure
That's did. Why we keep coming back. Trish Dixon tweeted, I thought it was great. This is why we can't kick the habit.
Nice. Nice. I like that. This is why we can't kick the habit. Trish Dixon.
Right? It was fucking awesome last night. Like that, being in that arena and just seeing the environment.
Boxing's a drug, man. It's a drug.
Really is. It's a fucking drug.
It's a bad drug, too. It's a really, really good and bad drug at the same time. It's really bad.
Bad, bad, bad.
It's the heroin of sports.
Do it in moderation. Never did heroin.
No, me either. But
I've heard good things. It's a wild ride. I've heard it's a wild ride.
Good and bad things.
Everyone, yeah, exactly. Everyone, enjoy the week. We'll be back later on. Keep your hands up at all times. Protect yourselves at all times. Stay out of those DMs.